कया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 39। नेयम् शोभिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधर त्वत्पदैर् अंकिता भाति स्वलक्षिता स्वलक्षण विलक्षितै। नेयम् शोभिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधर त्वत्पदैरंकिता भाति स्वलक्षण विलक्षितैः। नेयम् शोभिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधर त्वत्पदैरंकिता भाति स्वलक्षण विलक्षितैः। नेयम् शोभिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधर त्वत्पदैरंकिता भाति स्वलक्षण विलक्षितैः। माताजी, नॉट यम दिस लैंड ऑफ आवर किंगडम शोभिष्यते विल अपियर ब्यूटिफुल तत्र देन यथा एज इट इज नाउ इदानीम हाउ गदाधर ओ कृष्णा त्वात् योर पदै बाय द फीट अंकिता मार्क्ड भाति इट इज डैजलिंग स्वलक्षणा योर ओन मार्क्स विलक्षितैः बाय द इम्प्रेशंस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, an instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. or on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where Krishna, where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. So we continue with our discussion which we had begun last time on the prayers as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and The principal idea of these prayers being that last time we discussed how the first element of prayer is praise. Prayer as an element of praise, we discussed about praising the Lord's name, form, qualities and pastimes. So the second element in prayer is prayer as thanksgiving, as an expression of gratitude. So kritagya kono seveta durarādhyam asādubhi tam sukhārādhyam rijubhir. Bhagavatam says, bhakti is very easy for somebody who has this feeling of gratitude. So in the first canto there are symptoms of intelligence, and one of the symptoms of intelligence given is gratitude. That means when I am able to remember how I have been helped in my current journey of life, both material and spiritual, and I am able to remember all the various people from the beginning of my life till now who have played a part, and I can actually express a prayer of genuine feeling for them, then that is a symptom of gratitude. So therefore, kritagya basically refers to remembering what someone has done for me. So therefore, in the context of, you know, bhakti, offering prayers to the Lord in thanksgiving is a very crucial element. So devotees offer thanksgiving or gratitude to the Lord in four different situations. First, devotees offer prayers to the Lord in prosperity. They feel grateful for the prosperity which Krishna has provided to them. And therefore this particular verse spoken by Kunti Maharani is in this category, where the entire prosperity of Hastinapur, which the Pandavas are experiencing, Kunti Maharani is acknowledging that it is not just due to some expertise of our political governance that we are experiencing so much prosperity. It is because your lotus feet, Tvat Padair Ankita Bhati. Because when in prosperity people forget who is the source of that prosperity, and many times one starts thinking that he is responsible. So the Pandavas experience this kind of prosperity, but Kunti Maharani has her feet grounded, and these verses are spoken after the battle of Kurukshetra, after the Pandavas have been declared as the supreme, unrivaled kings of the entire planet. And therefore it is even more difficult to maintain one's humility when one's supremacy goes unchallenged. And so Kunti Maharani's prayer is significant, because she's expressing, yes, actually all of this is only because of your feet which have touched upon this land. So the gopis also say, Jayati te adhikam janmana braja. That this braja was already very opulent, but from the time you appeared, it has become even more opulent. So all the opulence here is credited to Krishna's presence and Krishna's grace and blessings. And therefore, she expresses this prayer in one more of the beautiful verses. Ime janapada suvriddha supakva aushadhi virudha vanadri nadi udanmanto hi edhante tava vikshitaihi. Tava vikshitaihi. So in this verse she says, your lotus feet and the mark of your lotus feet is responsible for this prosperity. And in the next verse she says, your glands, tava vikshitaihi, edhante tava vikshitaihi, vanadri nadi udanmanto, the rivers, the various jewels, the mines, the mountains, all the opulences which we find in nature, the natural bounty which we are enjoying is only because of your glands. So we are grateful to you for showcasing that beautiful glands upon us. Like that. So therefore,
the prosperity which a devotee experiences is only by the grace of the Lord, and without the Lord's intervention and presence, nobody can experience any prosperity. And in today's situation, we can appreciate it even more with all the advancement in technology, with all the sophistication which we have achieved. But when the Lord wants to put a brake on the prosperity, it just takes, you know, a microorganism less than the net weight of 1 gram to put an end to the several million tons of nuclear stockpiles which are there in the whole world. And with all of our arsenal, with all of our technological power, with all of our nuclear power, with all of our intellectual power, we are helpless. And therefore Padma Puran says, Ahankriti ma karasyat na karatam nishedaka tasmatu namasakshetri svatantriyam pratishidhyate. That what exactly is the meaning of the term when we say namaha? We are offering to the Lord in gratitude. Namaha, Krishnaya namaha, Vishnave namaha, in yajna we are offering namaha. So the word namaha is defined in Padma Puran. And what is that? In namaha, ahankriti ma karasyat na karatan nishedaka. So the word ma in namaha refers to ahankar and mamakar, I and mine. So the principle of I, my greatness, and mine, how this is due to my credit. So that ma refers to that. Ahankriti ma karasyat na karatan nishedaka. So the na refers to nishedaka, means it is denying that, not. So that means this is not due to me. I am not the cause. Tasmat tu namasa kshetri svatantryam pratishidhyate. And so the word namasa or namaha basically means that I do not want to experience my independence. I am restricting the area of my independence and expressing my dependence on the Lord. So that is why we offer the word namaha. So therefore, you know, this is a very beautiful point. And you know, it's very important that in the situation where devotees are in voluntary organizations. So I was reading a nice article by some devotee that many leaders, when they are leading in an organization in various situations, so then we have a lot of mistrust and criticism, and this criticism will not be helpful in gaining excellent spiritual leadership as Prabhupada desired. So this article was written way back in the 80s, where the top leadership was going through lots of turbulence and devotees were feeling disillusioned and loss of trust. So then this senior devotee, he writes that whatever we want to develop and improve, so there are only three ways we can develop and improve something, including the quality of leadership of inexperienced people. Because criticizing is easy. Finding fault is easy. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't take much energy. But if we want to develop and improve, the only way is, number one, we have to have gradual cultivation. The younger leaders need to be gradually cultivated. Number two, there needs to be nurturing of such devotees. And number three, that we have to expect to gain results only in the long term and not have such expectation that everything should happen immediately. And therefore, each devotee, out of a feeling of gratitude, should imagine how much Prabhupada has invested before he could establish ISKCON. And because ISKCON was established in the 60s, thanks to the so much of, you know, sacrifices by the Western devotees, and because of which today in India, ISKCON is in a very prominent and respected position. So therefore, we have to remember these things, and it is a duty. Okay, so three things further are important. It is the duty of each member of an organization to contribute to the development of good leadership. So we could either think that we can contribute with our criticism and skepticism, or we have a choice that we can contribute to the development of good leadership. That choice we have to make. What contribution I want to make? Number two, it is not very hard to criticize, but it is important to contribute to the positive change. And therefore, we have to become instruments in making the positive change. And third, if we want good leaders, we have to nurture them as valuable plants. And I think this example people in GEV can very much relate with, because we can see how much of effort it takes to grow a plant, to maintain a plant, to protect a plant. And therefore, what should be done? The leaders, means everybody who is taking up responsibility in different levels within the ISKCON society, who are doing it voluntarily, they should be, number one, given attention. We should give them attention. Second, we have to give them care, not scare. We have to give them care. Third, we have to nurture them. We have to facilitate their development. We have to facilitate their skills to be built. And we have to facilitate their education. So unless we give them attention, care, nurturing, help them develop their skills, facilitate their development and give education, we cannot just expect someone to suddenly just turn around and be transformed. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada personally nurtured and empowered many devotees in the early days. And in those days, you know, the resources were very scarce. Like Brahmanand Prabhu's brother, his name was Garga Muni. And because he was very, very tight with money, he was called Garga Muni. And he was very famous, and people would be scared whenever he was president anywhere. So one time one pujari, she lost her slippers, and she went to Garga Muni saying that, "I want some money for slippers." He said, "You are pujari, so you are always with the deities. You never need to go outside, so you don't need slippers." So that was, you know, the kind of control which he used to exert at that time. And Srila Prabhupada, he began this society with very, very limited resources, but with unlimited hope and enthusiasm. And that has been the story of every successful venture in the spiritual history, where more than resources, what you need is resilience. So resilience is more important than resources, the ability to continue hoping against hope and continuing the practice. And in this way, we find that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to the house of Advaita Acharya, he sees that Advaita is offering all the huge amounts of prasad which has been cooked to the deities at their home. So the wife is cooking and Advaita Acharya is offering. So that section Prabhupada gives very nice purports on what should be the mood of a grihastha. And the grihastha acknowledges that I am receiving everything from Krishna. So the offering of food which is done at home is an acknowledgement of gratitude that Krishna is giving me the grains, Krishna is giving me the food, and therefore we are offering. So when Mahaprabhu sees this, he says, Aiche anna ye Krishna ke karaye bhojan, janme janme shire dharo tahar charan. Life after life, I take the dust of the feet of such a devotee who offers with love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Advaita Acharya's entire household life is dedicated simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Acharyare Shraddha Bhakti Griha Sampat Dhane Sakala Safala Hoila Prabhur Aradhane. His Shraddha, faith, bhakti, devotion, griha, his house, sampat, his entire opulence, and dhan, his property and his wealth, sakala safala hoila, everything was successful in the aradhana of the Lord. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledges Advaita Acharya's glory as an ideal grihastha. He acknowledges the glory of Sarabhaum Bhattacharya as a grihastha because they do not consider themselves to be the center of the home, they consider the Lord and express gratitude to the Lord. Ghare Krishna bhaji more kar ashirvade nilachale asi jena tumara prasade. You give me blessings so that I can come back to Jagannath Puri from South India. Mahaprabhu seeks blessings of a grihastha. So Prabhupada says, why is sannyasi asking blessings of a grihastha? Because if the grihastha has this consciousness that yes, ultimately Krishna is the doer and I am dependent on the Lord and he is in the mood of expressing that gratitude, then such a grihastha is empowered to even bless sannyasis. So Prabhupada writes in that particular purport. And therefore, you know, Prabhupada, when he was in a morning walk, and this was in London, and people were coming up and saying, good morning, good morning. And Prabhupada suddenly turned around and said, what is this good morning? So, you know, Satsurup Maharaj was there, he said, people want to wish each other in the morning, that's why they say good morning. Prabhupada said, no, actually in London, things are always dark. Therefore, when the sun comes out, they feel very good, so they say good morning. That is the nature of the material world. Material world means it is dark. Dark means material world is filled with that ignorance. There is a dark cloud which covers this material world. And what is that dark cloud? The dark cloud is the desire to be the controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. That is the dark cloud. And as long as that dark cloud is there, that ajnana, that basically is that desire of the living entity to be the master, is the darkness which overwhelms and envelops this material creation. And therefore, Prataprudra Maharaj's example is glorified by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because although having all the facilities to enjoy as the king, but he wants to express his servitude and he says, Jadi sai Mahaprabhur na pai kripadhan kiba rajya kiba deha sab akaran. If I do not get a chance to serve the Lord as a servant, what will I do with this, you know, all this opulence, what will I do with this kingdom? And therefore, the first principle is we glorify Krishna for all the prosperity that he gives us. We express our gratitude for the prosperity which we receive. Second is thanksgiving offered to Krishna when a devotee goes through adversity. This is a little more difficult one. Because in prosperity, at least, you feel you have gained something. So when someone gives you something which you expect, to say thank you is the normal social protocol also. So it doesn't require, it does require some, you know, conscience, but still it is with the wave of what society is built in. But when there is adversity, then to express gratitude, that requires a lot of spiritual substance. And therefore the Puranas say, Maha vipattav samsare yah smaret madhusudana vipattav tasya sampatti bhavet ityah Shankara. That in the midst of great adversity, if one is able to remember Madhusudan, yah smaret madhusudana, if one is able to remember, vipattav tasya sampatti, his vipatti will become his sampatti. That adversity becomes his source of prosperity. So therefore, the Bhagavatam begins with Maharaj Parikshit being cursed, and he says, Tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshnam nirveda mulo dvijaparupo yattar prasakto bhayamashudhatte. That actually, I am cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. I am very grateful for that, because if I was not cursed, I would never have given up my controllership and my proprietorship. Because that is the most painful thing to give up, when one's area of control is snatched away, when the soul is snatched away from the body at the time of death. Then the soul is a helpless witness to see the field or the instrument through which he exerts control, the body, is being taken away, and one cannot do anything about it. And therefore, the ultimate experience which every soul goes through at the time of death is the experience of pain, not pleasure. So at the time of death, the pain experienced by a person who is dying is equivalent to the biting of how many scorpions? 42,000. That's what I remember in my first Gita course, 94. We learned this, right? I don't know the source of that. But from then on, we have been quoting this. 42,000 scorpion bites. We used to have our cob house before, where the three bungalows are. And there we used to give free sample of one or two scorpion bites. So, scorpion bite is different from snake bite, because scorpion bite may not kill, but its pain is such that the person automatically starts dancing. So 42,000 scorpion bite is so painful, and how do we remember Krishna at that time? That means unless we have had the ability to remember Krishna regularly during painful episodes in life, we cannot imagine to remember Krishna just directly at the time of death. Because, you know, even for writing a simple exam which Damodar Prabhu gives, so much preparation is required. What do you say, Yugal Prem Prabhu? So, although questions are known, answers are known, what to write is known, still, you have to prepare. Without preparation, you cannot just remember. So therefore, to remember at the time of death, in the midst of that pain, requires regular exposure to pain. And the more we are exposed to different types of pain throughout our whole life, it is Krishna's arrangement to give us free practice session. It is a preview of what to expect at death. So therefore, now we have this, you know, GSPL student sitting here. How many practice tests you have given? Huh? More than 20. More than 20 practice tests they have given. So while giving practice tests also you have to pay also. Yeah, it's not given for free. All practice tests are given by coaching classes. They charge. So Krishna gives us practice tests free. They take this. And then in the midst of that painful episode, are you able to still remember me, to serve me and to please me? So therefore, we have to live our life with the final objective in mind. We cannot live life in compartments. The difference between devotee and a non-devotee is, a devotee has taken up this conviction of practice of Krishna consciousness considering one objective. Antakalecha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. That is not the objective of the majority of the world. So therefore, our response has to be different from the response of people of this world when experiencing pain. And therefore, Bhagavatam, right from the first canto, is revealing how the great souls actually respond in pain. Your response to pain has to be following in the footsteps of these great souls. If you desire to achieve what Parikshit achieved after the 7 days. And therefore, tasmat namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyatana sandeho mahabhagavato mahan. He is mahabhag. He is mahabhagavat. But still, he had to experience this. And therefore, you know, Kunti Maharani, what she prays? Vipadaha santu ta shashvat. Very deadly prayer. Please keep giving repeated episodes of pain. Even repeating this verse, we feel afraid. We have to clarify to Krishna, it is not my prayer. It is Kunti Maharani's prayer. And therefore, she is saying that why I am asking for this pain, so that in that situation of pain, the most important thing happens. My feeling of independence in my own ability to help myself and protect myself is taken away. And in that state of helplessness, I am able to be fully dependent on you helplessly. When I am helplessly dependent on you, it is a simulation of what will happen at death. Death is a moment of helpless dependence. So as many moments we experience in life where we are stripped away of causes of feeling proud of our own abilities and our power and influence, each one of those episodes is an opportunity given by the Lord to actually simulate that situation. And therefore she says that in this I feel that the greatest prosperity I am looking for. Therefore Krishna calls Arjuna Dhananjay. Because the prosperity which the devotees are searching for is different from the prosperity the materialists are searching for. The materialists are searching for the prosperity of material opulence. The devotees are searching for the prosperity of the opulence of the remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, just like Arjuna, you conquered over the wealth. Now you conquer over your mind and fill your mind with the opulence and the prosperity of the remembrance of Krishna. So therefore, Bali Maharaj, he also says, Pumsam shlaghyatamam manye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita bharata suhrdascha adishyantihi. My dear Lord, I know you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I also know you as the Supreme Personality of punishment. Nobody in history has punished their dependent the way you have punished me. But your punishment is going to be very, very beneficial for me. I have full faith. Because whatever you do, it is only for the benefit of those who are connected to you. And therefore, Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is expressing this gratitude that in one moment, my controllership as the king of the entire universe has been taken away. He should actually go into depression and collapse. But even Brahmaji is with his four heads, he becomes bewildered, and Brahmaji becomes angry with Lord Vamandev. That are in Shastra you say that you offer Patram Pushpam, you become happy, and this guy has offered whole universe, still you are not happy. What do you want? So Brahmaji becomes his advocate. Yat padayor ashadhir salilam pradaya. Shastras you are saying you offer little water, Durvankurai, all these things, and you have taken away whole universe. He has offered his head also. What else you want? Then at that point, Lord Vamandev explains that actually I want to let the whole world know that the purpose of human life is not economic development, but the purpose of human life is to remember me. Because I am the source of that economic development and I can take it away one moment. And that we can see today. In one moment, it is Lord Vamana's Leela. Right? He has expanded his leg all over the world, in every continent, and snatched the money, snatched the wealth away. That's it. In one moment, everything is gone. So people should know that that is not the reason why we should spend our life. Every moment should be utilized to cultivate the enhanced prosperity of remembrance of Krishna. So that's what Narad Muni says, Tad dinam durdinam manye megachhadam na durdinam. That day is not considered a bad day which is covered with cloud. But jad dinam Krishna samlapa katha piyusha varjanam. That day is considered a bad day where we cannot have Krishna katha. So when we cannot remember the Lord, that is the real adversity. And that's what our Maharaj Parikshit also says, that tammopayantam pratyantu vipra gangacha devi dhritajamishe dvijopasrishta kuhakastakshakova dashatvalam gayatak vishnu gada. Common people are afraid of destruction of the body. A devotee is afraid of the distraction of the mind. The distraction of my mind at the moment of death worries me more than the destruction of my body. So those who are more concerned about distraction than destruction, they are the devotees. And therefore, that distraction of mind from Krishna is real adversity. Otherwise, any other kind of adversity which comes, the devotees simply consider this as an opportunity to remember the Lord more. And so in the 10th canto description of rainy season, it says, Girayo varshadharabhir hanyamana na vivyatu abhibhuyamana vyasanai yatha adhokshaja chetasa. Just like rains fall upon mountain, it washes away all the dust. Like that, when calamities come upon devotee's life, by remembering the Lord, all of his misgivings are washed away, his ahankar or false ego is washed away, and his ability to remember Krishna is enhanced. And in Vrindavan, Krishna demonstrates that in my own family, in my own village, when I am there, there is repeated episodes of calamity, so that you can see how should you respond when the calamity comes. Iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama katha mudha kurvanto ramamanascha na avindan bhava vedana. That although they were attacked repeatedly and there were calamity after calamity, na vindan, they did not experience bhava vedana. They did not experience the anxiety of this material world because they were completely absorbed in Krishna Ram Katha Mudha. They were completely absorbed in experiencing the joy of discussing about Krishna. And so as we discussed in the Amrita Bhakshan Leela, when Yashoda Mai sees the entire universe within Krishna's mouth, she is bewildered and she is trying to analyze what is the cause. I am a mother, I am trying to protect my son. Why I am not able to protect him? And then she says, repeatedly I have tried for so many years to protect my son from calamity. I have tried to stop him from stealing. I have tried to stop him from doing pranks. I have tried to do so many things. I am failed. So her identity as a mother goes through a major collapse. Because a mother feels, I can protect my son, I can take care of my son, I can nourish my son. And if she starts thinking that I can neither help him when he needs me, neither protect him when he needs me, what is my point? So at this time of identity crisis, a person experiences the greatest pain and collapse. Just like Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as a warrior I must kill, as a grandson I must love, as a student I must respect. And when he went through these multiple identities clashing with each other, he collapsed. And therefore she says, Aham mamaso patiresha mesuto vrajeshwarasya kala vittapasati gopyascha gopa sahagodanascha me yan maya me kumati samegati. So she says, I thought that I am the lord of this entire Gokul, I am the queen, all these cowherd boys belong to me, cowherd girls belong to me, cows belong to me, but I realize that it was all kumati. It was all my false ego. And so Prabhupada writes, when a devotee goes through great calamity and adversity, and in spite of all kinds of speculation, analysis, introspection, rationalization, still you cannot understand the cause of that particular calamity. So what should one do? So Prabhupada says, when you cannot understand the real cause of that calamity, you should remember the first verse. Achintya khalue bhava natam starkena yojayet. That the cause of this is inconceivable. Achintya. This is achintya. I may be able to see the immediate cause, but I don't really know. Like what the world is going through today is achintya. So many theories and analysis may be there, but then Prabhupada says, the second verse one must remember is, although the immediate cause may be beyond analysis, but one thing is for sure, the ultimate cause of this is Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The ultimate cause is Krishna. So we should remember this. Then third verse we should remember is, if ultimate cause is Krishna, then Krishna is simply giving this calamity to me because tattenu kampam susamikshamana bhunjanu eva atmakritam. It is in response to my own past karma. So we should feel grateful that the Lord is minimizing. So we should remember tattenu kampam. And then, how to have hope for the future? We should remember the fourth verse, Matra Sparshastu Kauntiya. If it is May and summer, then July will also come. The first rain in June is very pleasurable, but then once it continues on and on and on and on and on non-stop, and since the last couple of years, there doesn't seem to be the end point of rainy season. It goes on till November. Then again you start expecting a change. So, you know, matras parshastu kontiya shita ushna sukha dukkhada. This will also change. So this is purport written by Prabhupada beautifully in that 8th chapter of the 10th canto. And it must have been in 1977. But Prabhupada's thought process is so clear. The entire purport consists of just these, you know, four verses on how to tolerate when one experiences adversity. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada not just wrote these purports, but he demonstrated that also. And at that particular point in time, when Prabhupada was in India, so this was 1971, Indo-Pak war was going on, and Prabhupada was giving a lecture at Delhi. And when Prabhupada gave a lecture at Delhi, you know, somebody just questioned Srila Prabhupada, why you are coming and giving all the lecture here in India? We already know all this Sanatana Dharma and all. So Prabhupada said, well, we are preaching all over the world, not just in India. He said, that's okay, but still, if you really want to teach, you should go and give lecture where nobody knows about these things. So Prabhupada said, so where should we go? He said, go to Pakistan. So Prabhupada immediately took the challenge. Said, what do you mean? You think we cannot go or what? We will go. And then Prabhupada immediately contacted Brahmanand Prabhu. And Brahmanand Prabhu letter came that time. College preaching is very successful in Florida. Prabhupada replied back, following in the footsteps of your preaching success in Florida, I want you to continue in Pakistan. So today, we cannot even imagine if Prabhupada was our direct authority. Golden Temple Express coming from Amritsar, Gurudas, Yamuna, Prabhupada, all these people, stops in Delhi. One old friend of Prabhupada comes and meets him with box of sweets. Prabhupada said, oh, so nice. How are things? Well, very nice. How is Delhi? Oh, Delhi is very good. Prabhupada said, what is the prospect of Krishna consciousness? Oh, hey, everybody is very much eager for Ram, you know, and Krishna and everything. So Prabhupada said, oh really, there is good prospect? Yes. Well, you have got a place? Yes, yes, I got a small place. So immediately Prabhupada looked at Gurudas and Yamuna. Take luggage, get down. Open center. Like that. So we feel grateful for what we have received. And we also feel grateful to the sensitivity shown by, you know, all the devotees in today's context. And it's not like that you take a luggage and go to Pakistan and go here, go there. So when he actually came, the one brother, Brahmanand Prabhu, came to Pakistan, the other one, Gargamuni, went to Bangladesh. I mean, you cannot imagine how risk-taking they were. And both of them, they were about to be shot by the soldiers. But because they were American, they were, you know, saved, because Pakistan had a close relation with America. So at that time, news report came in the Indian newspaper, and also in Pakistan newspaper it was picked up that two Americans have been killed in Pakistan. So Prabhupada became very panic. But actually it was, you know, they didn't get killed, they came back. And then he came and surrendered to Prabhupada again in Mumbai, and Prabhupada was like crying tears. And then Prabhupada wanted him to stay in Mumbai, but, you know, then something else happened. And Prabhupada said, why don't you, you know, one more devotee said, Prabhupada, we don't have a center in Africa. Brahmanand should go to Africa. So Prabhupada said, Brahmanand, you know, we have centers in 5 continents. We do not have in the 6th continent, Africa. If you go and open center in Africa, we'll have center in all 6 continents. So he said, okay. So he immediately took luggage, went to Nairobi, and he started a center there. And Prabhupada continued in Juhu, and he was having these grand plans of a 5-star guest house, you know, auditorium, huge temple, all these things. And, you know, at that point of time, Prabhupada and the devotees were staying in Akash Ganga. It was on the near Malabar Hill, that side, South Mumbai. So practically all of ISKCON's original supporters, they are all from Marine Drive to Malabar Hill, right next to Chopadi. 80% of Giriraj Maharaj's member list is all Chopati neighbors. And the only person I know who's really connecting with most of them is Nityanand Charan Prabhu. Because he really just yesterday, Annakshetra 1 lakh donation came from one of the close relatives of Brijratan Mohata, who was like supporting Prabhupada a lot in those days. So actually, when this Mr. Nair was going to give him the land in Juhu, Juhu was considered to be outskirts of Mumbai. And so, as soon as Prabhupada said, yes, we are going to come and stay there, immediately, the first thing which happened was all of those life members and well-wishers of Prabhupada in South Mumbai, they protested. And they said, you should not go to Juhu because it will be difficult for us. We are your supporters. Temple has to be for us. So you should not go to Juhu. And they made a huge petition, signed it and gave it to Prabhupada that we don't want you to go to Juhu. But Prabhupada said, no, this is the only land we are getting, we will go to Juhu. And Prabhupada set up his thing in Juhu. And then when they had to sign that deed in the lawyer's office, Prabhupada took Madhudvisha Swami at that time, who was with him. He was known as the great Kirtaniya. He was the king of Kirtan. So he was the president. He took him along. And then Prabhupada signed the deed for the land. And then when he gave it to Madhudvisha, Madhudvisha Swami looked at that deed and then saw the whole proposal of what we are going to do in this land with, you know, 5-star hotel and restaurant and this and that and everything. He kept looking at it and kept reading it. Prabhupada said, sign. He kept reading. Prabhupada said, sign it. He took the pen in his hand, kept looking at it, and then closed the pen, put it in the pocket, got up and walked away. Prabhupada said, where are you going? He says, Prabhupada, I joined ISKCON for Harinam, Prasad distribution, book distribution. Beyond that, I cannot imagine all these hi-fi things. I'm a simple person. I have simple ideals. But what you are planning is beyond my head. Therefore, I stepped down. So Prabhupada was shocked. And the lawyer is looking. Hey, what happened to your guy? Are you taking the land or not? Prabhupada said, yes, we are taking the land. Wait, I'll bring one more guy. So then letter came from Brahmanand Swami. Prabhupada, in Nairobi, our preaching has begun and we are planning one pandal program, big pandal program in a stadium. So Prabhupada had another plan. So he said, oh, this is very good. Please organize and send ticket immediately. I will come for your pandal. So Brahmanand Prabhu didn't expect. Because he thought, now why will Prabhupada come all the way to Nairobi where things have just begun? So he came under pressure that, oh, actually it is serious, he has accepted. So he had very less, and he said, okay, Prabhupada, can you come after, you know, a few months? No, I am coming next week. So he had just 1 week to prepare. He put his things together and in big stadium, Prabhupada came, 50 people were there. Stadium is huge. Audience is right here only. And Brahmanand Prabhu was feeling very nervous that what will Prabhupada say? Such a big stadium venue and only handful of people. After the event, Prabhupada came to Brahmanand Prabhu and said, excellent program. Wonderful. And he said, oh my God. What was so wonderful about this? And then Prabhupada said, Africa is very good, but I have some plans in Juhu. And then, you know, Madhudvisha, he backed off. And I think you will be able to do it. So come with me. So that was the main mission. So Prabhupada took, you know, Madhudvisha, Brahmananda from there
and back to Juhu to continue his plan. So therefore, this entire episode is extremely, you know, important. And the way the deed was, that you give advance, then he'll give like a conveyance, but that is not ownership, and you are not allowed to build also. So Prabhupada looked at Brahmananda and Narnarayan Prabhu, and Prabhupada said, now we have to move into the land. But they said, as per legal thing, we cannot build anything. Prabhupada said, no, we will not build. Said, how we will stay? Prabhupada said, we will not build, we will make pandal. He says, pandal? Yes, but we will make pandal, that is called, not a building, but we will make permanent pandal. So these were all very new concept for American concept, you know. What is permanent pandal? Then Prabhupada drew and showed how to make and this and that. And they just moved in. And that is how, at that point when they moved in, they made that whole pandal shed. And there were mosquitoes like anything. And Dr. Patel, who was in the morning walk with Prabhupada, started complaining. There are so many mosquitoes. Your disciples are all living in a very dirty condition. Prabhupada said, no. They have realized I am not the body. You know, they are experiencing this tolerance. And then Dr. Patel would complain, your disciples don't know how to eat properly. They mix sweet with, sour things and this and that and everything. Prabhupada said, no, they are paramahamsas. They are beyond all these distinctions. So Prabhupada would repeatedly defend, protect, and make sure that this continues. And so one of Prabhupada's disciples, Kaushalya Devi, she came and said, so-and-so devotees are speaking bad about me in Mayapur. I don't like this. I want to leave and go and settle in Birnagar. Birnagar is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, you know, widow home is there. So I'll just settle there. Because I can't tolerate this, you know, backbiting and fault-finding and all kinds of gossip about me from other devotees. It is too painful for me to handle. So Prabhupada immediately said, the problem is, number one, you expect this material world to be a calm sea. Calm, C-A-L-M, calm. Sea. You expect the sea to be calm. Second, Prabhupada said, you will only experience the calm sea in Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, this material world will be always rough sea. Third, Prabhupada said, but you have the advantage of having me as the captain of your ship. So what is your problem? Stay on board. And therefore, you have to tolerate this. So therefore, when, you know, we experience turbulence and difficulties, it is an opportunity for us to express our gratitude to the Lord. Like that. And that's what Srila Prabhupada also demonstrate. And Prataprudra Maharaj says that Prataprudra chadi koribe jagatanistar ei pratigya kori koriya chin avatar. That actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared with this pratigya that I will deliver everybody except Prataprudra. And therefore, Tara Pratigya Morena Koribe Darshan, Mora Pratigya Tahavina Chadiba Jivan. I also take the vow that without Mahaprabhu's mercy, I will also give up my life. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the determination to continue in the midst of all adversities is what actually makes a person totally eligible to receive Lord Krishna's grace. And, just continuing on, Guru Kripa Swami, one of the original founders of the Krishna Balaram Temple, so he was
like comes from California and very aggressive person. If you have seen him ever in any program, short, and so he was very aggressive. Prabhupada had given him sannyas and everything. He would go around and do collection. So he was expert in fundraising. Practically all the money for Krishna Balaram temple in Mayapur in the initial days was collected by him. So, you know, he went to one of the businessmen in Bhuleshwar. That was the place where the most of the collectors from Juhu would go. And then he was sitting there and there was a group of businessmen, and he was telling them about Prabhupada's books, asking them to become member and pay some subscription money. And they said, okay, what is this about Gita and everything, but Krishna is not the hero. Arjuna is not the hero. Real hero is Karna. So it is typical Indian situation. Nobody is interested in anything. But they find an American young man wearing strange clothes. So afternoon time, 3 o'clock, good entertainment with chai and pakoda, some entertainment of different type. So he said, "Arey, real hero is Karna." And then they started speaking some story of Karna and this and that. Now Guru Kripa Swami didn't know too much of Mahabharata, but all he knew is that Arjuna is the hero. Karna, Virna, I don't know who the hell he is, but Arjuna is the hero. So he says, "No, Arjuna is the hero, and this is what Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita and this and that." Says, "Arey, what do you know? Yaar, you're American, you don't know about Karna. We are Indians, we know everything." So then he got up and moved close to that guy and says, "Hey, I am telling you, don't insult Krishna. Don't insult Arjuna, he's the devotee. And he's the actual hero, understand?" He shouted like that. So the guy backed off. And then he said, "Hey, what your guru has taught you? After being under guru for so long, still you are so angry? Devotee is not supposed to be angry like this. What improvement you have experienced in life?" So he said, "1 year back, I would have punched you on the nose and blood would have come from your nose. But thanks to my guru's grace, I am able to control my punch. I am only shouting." So the others got impressed. They all became members. That is how the initial group of people Prabhupada had, you know, but they did not have too much knowledge. They didn't understand too many different things. They knew a few things, and they said, "Prabhupada said we must do it. That's it. We have to do it." Then Guru Kripa Swami went to meet one, you know, there used to be this Parley company, Ramesh Chauhan. So Parley Group, Gold Spot, and you know, all these biscuits and all those things. So that time they were very huge. This is 1971-72. So he had given him time, but you know, he got stuck in traffic or whatever, he got late. He had given him 10 minutes, he reached 8 minutes late. So this Chauhan, he was sitting there and looked at him, you know, young guy who has come in, American. It looked very strange in India that time. American, wearing dhoti, kurta, shaved head, tilak. You didn't know which planet they are coming from, what species they are, what exactly they represent. So he looked at him and said, "I gave you time of 10 o'clock. It is 8 minutes past 10. Only 2 minutes you have. What is your message?" He took the books from his back, kept it on the table, dhadam. And he said, "I want you to take these books and I want you to become member and pay me this money." Chauhan looked at him and said, "I want to hire you." As my sales head. I have never seen such a quick marketing message delivered so crisply. So he immediately became member. And then, you know, this was, I was distributing Prasadam in 2003, Prabhupada's memories, or you know, Juhu's 25th anniversary, 78 to 2003. So I was in charge of the prasad distribution. So all these devotees had come from all over the world. Sridhar Maharaj, he was the one who organized this whole event. And so, like Narayan Prabhu, after 1972, after the initial tin shed pandal, and when, you know, that municipal corporation, they tried to take away the DTs, and that fight happened, and, you know, Balasaheb Thackeray intervened and stopped that, and then the tin shed further breaking was stopped. After that day, the next darshan he was having of Ras Bihari was 2003, in that huge, beautiful, you know, palatial place, and he just couldn't believe that, oh, the last time I saw was a tin shed, and now this is like such an opulent thing. So therefore, when the great souls, they envision something, it is for generations of conditioned souls, not for you and me. And that is the whole idea of a spiritual project, that it is supposed to give shelter to conditioned souls over several generations. And so, you know, I'll just wanted to share some of these thoughts on the prosperity and the adversity, and some of the adversities Prabhupada went through. And at that time, everywhere in the news, CIA agent, CIA agent, CIA agent, and police came. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and told Prabhupada, the police have come. Prabhupada said, why? Because they have heard we are CIA agents. And there is some rumor that we are sending messages from the top of our gopuram. They want to check the gopuram. Prabhupada said, okay, let them go and clean it. So they went inside, cleaned the whole gopuram from inside, and then came down and said, nothing is there. Prabhupada said, nearby 5-10 five-star hotels are there, which is filled with foreigners. They are not going there. They are coming here. We have become CIA agents, and those foreigners who are there in those hotels are not CIA agents. Why they are coming here? Because our message is stop sense gratification. That is what is making them afraid. And so at that time, a reporter came and said, Swamiji, we are hearing your CIA agent. Prabhupada said, which CIA agent get up at 3:30 in the morning? Which CIA agent take bath so early? So that institution, which was known as a CIA agent in 1971-72, now the governments are coming forward and seeking partnership as part of their so many activities. Yudhishthir Govind Prabhu has sent an 8-minute video prepared by Kejriwal government. You know, you have seen that? It's prepared by the government of Delhi about the food distribution program in partnership with ISKCON. But it is the government which has made that video and acknowledging how ISKCON has helped them in Delhi in this execution of this whole thing. You know, so it's a long journey for Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON in India, which was looked upon with skepticism, where practically everybody was wondering, who are these guys, from which planet have they come, what is their mission, what are they doing? From that point to the point of being, you know, I directly got a call from Uddhav Thackeray's secretary saying that, oh, your trucks are not able to go and distribute in Vasai because somebody was stopping. We heard from the Vada kitchen, that midday meal kitchen, what help you need, tell me immediately. So the government is calling, the government is acknowledging. So from 72 to 2020, it's a long journey. But only when devotees put their head down and continue doing quality work without losing hope and without losing focus on the vision, then sustainable quality is developed. And therefore we find that the adversity which Srila Prabhupada experienced in those days in establishing ISKCON Juhu. So today Juhu gets, I mean before the lockdown, they would get 1 lakh visitors on a Sunday. You know, so nobody could imagine how the whole project has developed from those days till now. So therefore, you know, devotees are used to these kind of situations, and That's what a devotee must do. Express gratitude in prosperity, express gratitude in adversity. And there are two more elements also within Thanksgiving. We'll take it up in our next session, since anyway lockdown is continuing. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions? Adhikesha Prabhu, any dramatic exclamations? Well, to hear about someone else's adversity is always humorous. Right? So, yes, Mataji. You heard it? How do? Oh, me? I didn't get that. Not me. How she should continue? Not me alone, all of us. So yesterday, or day before, was May 1st. So May 1st happens to be, you know, the Labor Day. And that is the day where the first batch came from Chowpatty. I think two batches or one batch? Only one batch. Then the next batch came the next year. So who are the ones who came? Raise your hand. 1st May 2010. Hadudau. Okay, Leela, tum next mein aata. Kit kaun se? May. So, March mein leke aa gaye the bhaiya. Kaam bad gaya tha. So anyway, the main thing is that when there is a need from the Guru Parampara, then the Guru Parampara ensures that particular thing is done. So as I discussed in the Prabhupada story, someone or the other will be chosen as a nimitta, as an instrument. And therefore, whoever is chosen as an instrument may find it difficult for a certain period. And at a certain period, one may think, okay, why am I doing this? That is a challenge. But then after some time, one should also not think why someone else is doing this. So both cases, we should remain detached. That yes, in difficult condition, I have been brought. Yes, I have to do this seva. And then seva is like a stream which just continues. So therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, you know, like we have Daivata Prabhu from New Vrindavan. So we are all trying to fulfill a dream which we never had. So it was somebody else's dream. It was Prabhupada's dream for New Vrindavan. And when Radhanath Maharaj went to New Vrindavan, Daivata Prabhu was the first person who, you know, trained him in Goshala in 1971. So the person who trained Radhanath Swami in the Goshala in 1971 is training our bulls in our Goshala in 2020. So sometimes our attachment to our own plans is so strong that we don't even hear exactly what is being told to us. So because there was so much resistance from our side to come here, because we didn't expect. And Maharaj just continued pushing, because when Maharaj comes to a certain stage and he wants something done, he can really push, as many of you here have experienced, and don't need any further validation or proof on that. So in household life you may call it nagging. You know, in spiritual terms it may sound offensive to call like that. You may call it pushing or repeated cajoling, reminding, whatever word you may call it. The experience is same only. That you feel that kyun lage hue itna piche. So nobody was taking it seriously, and then Maharaj was like, then he used his Brahmastra. He said, in 2010 my 60th birthday is coming, so you have to give this Govardhan Eco Village project as a gift for my 60th birthday, because in Indian culture, you know, children give to their parents on their 60th birthday something special. So this is their 60th birthday gift. So that was the height of, you know, emotional bargain. So then some of us got involved, and then we decided we'll announce in Chaupati temple, let us go and fulfill Maharaj's desire. And then we announced, nobody came forward. Whoever had choice, nobody came forward. So then we said, okay, let's try to bring few people who don't have the choice. And that's how the new batch was brought in. And there is a famous lecture which, you know, you can show to Adhikesha Prabhu, where Maharaj is speaking to both the batches, and each batch is thinking the other batch is going. Because Maharaj just said the BT batch. So one was outgoing, one was incoming. So they didn't know which was which. Ultimately both landed up. So yes, as I said, that other person's trauma is many times humorous. But when we went through the period, it was difficult. We cannot discount the fact, because there was like a 17-year gap between these guys and, you know, myself, and a 20-year gap, 24-year gap between Sanat Kumar Prabhu and them. So you cannot bridge that gap in terms of experience and, you know. So, but they surrendered, they tolerated, they are still tolerating. They came, and thanks to that, then step by step, things started happening. So it was a long journey, but the purpose is, as I said, it was a struggle to build the hospital. But the hospital has been built so that the surgery can happen. And so now all of you have come in as surgeons, and many others, we want to come, we want to welcome them, so that when people visit this place, their heart gets transformed. So that's the whole idea of, you know, building this place. And everyone has a role to play. So those who were very active in building, you know, some of us may not be able to play the very active part in that element also. So therefore, the roles keep changing. But we have to play our part. So therefore, right now all of you have come in and you consider this place as your very own. And you have full, you know, red carpet rolled out for you to come in and serve to your heart's content. And that's what Radhanath Maharaj expects now from the second wave, is we need a group of stable grihasthas who would come and take care of many of our activities moving forward. And more brahmacharis can be engaged in connecting with people who come in. You know, a few years back Maharaj told me in 2016-17, when he kind of took us back from the intense day-to-day management, he said, people are coming and you are talking to them, and suddenly you start chastising somebody on phone right in front. The guy has come to relax. Sitting with you, he becomes in anxiety. So you have to now lead a life which is less anxiety. So that the whole purpose is people are coming as retreat to relax. So you should be available to just make them feel happy. Not that you welcome them, please be happy, and then you go and and then come back, and then the guy says, "Arey, ye to mere se bhi zyada tension mein." So then Maharaj started explaining about Buddhist retreat centers. They may be Shunyavadis or Mayavadi retreat center. They may be Mayavadis, but they are always smiling, peaceful. Well, here we are all personalists, but I see you and your team always in anxiety. And then behind me was Tulsi Priyadas. मैं क्या बोलता हूँ? And as I was talking to Maharaj, he was actually behind chastising somebody, some driver on the phone. And Maharaj looked at me. Who will come here if all of you are in such anxiety? So that was the idea that he said, I am giving my energy to cultivate people, take care of people. After me, if my next level of people are not available, then I cannot connect with like thousands of people, Baba. So people are coming for hearing lecture, for connecting with a sadhu who's relaxed. Why are people going to Kartik Yatra? You know, not to experience Radhanath Swami's management skills. They are coming for katha. So he said, I think we should start preparing that you should be able to then connect in a relaxed mode. And basically, you know, that has really helped in the last 3 years. Our public relations has grown so much. The network has grown so much. Connecting with high net worth individuals, government officials, and that's the result, you know, this even IAS Academy has come about. Because I could step back from the day-to-day, you know, management, and all these younger people have taken up calm responsibilities, which leaves us time to connect with more strategic initiatives. You know, something which is of long term. And thanks to that Annakshetra, we could start. And I could have the confidence because I was connected with people who could support. You know, otherwise, if I was still doing the running around, there is no end to the agenda. You will never have like a calm meeting where they say, no agenda today. Sab shanti. Aisa kabhi hoga hi nahi. It will keep rolling. But you have to plan in a way that, okay, at a certain point, next level takes charge. The previous generation takes care of more strategic and futuristic things. And thanks to that, then when you came in, so Maharaj's whole idea is, I should connect with people who are coming in and make them feel comfortable and facilitate their transition. So yourself and Sri Guru Charan Prabhu and, you know, so many newer people are coming in, and that's part of my service to facilitate that you come and become integrated with this larger family. So like that, you know, the responsibility and activities here at GV are expanding. So, therefore, you should not feel like an outsider just because you were not part of the creation of this place. Because in some time, practically all of your efforts will be the ones very much required to maintain this place. So all of us had a certain service at a certain point of time. We did that, okay. But it's not like, you know, there is something special about it. It had to be done. I mean, I would say I've put in more effort in Chowpatty than even here. But somehow that part has not been romanticized because it was in the midst of 1 acre. It was a reconstruction, you know, what do you call that, repair and maintenance kind of work. So it didn't get that romantic appeal of what a wonderful thing has been done. Otherwise, same thing we have done there also. During that 2004, 2005, 2006 period, whatever we did there, same thing. So, certain people have to take charge of creation. There are others who need to take care of maintenance to make sure that destruction doesn't happen. So therefore, those who have come in for maintaining, like all the devotees here in the community, those who are taking care of the Gurukul, the agriculture, it's like a huge community. And Maharaj has high expectations from both of you to kind of drive the vision for how will this community stay together as a replica of Vrindavan. And therefore I sent you to Mayapur last year and you interviewed all the leaders in Mayapur, right from Jayapatak Maharaj to so many other directors and all that. So Maharaj wants you to really work on that project, meditate on that and grow it to your heart's content. And that's the vision for so many different, you know, people here, that each one takes up a specific thing and then grows it to their heart's content. So therefore, there were challenges in creation. Like that, during maintenance also, there will be challenges. You have to deal with it the way we explained in today's lecture. Continue with prayers of the Goswamis, of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is right here in his room in Radha Damodar. Rupa Goswami is right there in his Bhajan Kutir. Take the shelter of prayers and continue. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki! Tai Gaur Premanande.